Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. If you could go on an adventure anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? Maybe you'd want to ride a camel across the sand dunes in the Sahara Desert. Or maybe you'd like to climb the Andes Mountains in Peru and visit Machu Picchu. I think I'd love to go snorkeling near the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. There are all sorts of incredible adventures that you can go on all over the world. Our guest today has lived a very interesting adventure-filled life. But before I tell you about him, I wanted to mention the free Constant Wonder Kids coloring pages that you can download on our website. The link to the coloring page is in the episode description, so check it out.
I spent 4 years cycling the whole way around the planet. I've crossed the Atlantic Ocean by sailing boat and in a little rowing boat. I've spent time up on the Arctic Ocean by the North Pole. I've walked through the Empty Quarter Desert in Arabia. So I've done these big distant expeditions, and I've been very lucky to make a living from writing about these big adventures.
This is today's guest, Alistair Humphreys. He's a National Geographic explorer, and as you can tell, he's been on many extraordinary adventures. When he was younger, his goal for his adventures was to travel as far as he could to see the most amazing things possible. The farther away from home, the better.
One of my biggest motivations for wanting to go on adventures and to see the whole world and to travel on expeditions around the world by bicycle or on boat or on foot was very much driven by me thinking that home was incredibly boring, like a lot of young folks across history. Where I lived was the most boring place in the entire universe, and if I wanted to have an exciting life, what I needed to do was get as far away from here as possible, to go out across the horizon in search of adventure, as people have done for countless generations.
So where is this most boring place in the world that Alistair calls home? Well, Alistair is from the United Kingdom, and right now he lives in the suburbs outside of London. Now, to me, that's incredibly exciting. And even Alistair could admit that his home in England is nice. But can you discover new things and places at home? For a long time, Alistair didn't think so.
You don't want to be in the boring old suburbia just outside London. Do you want to be in San Francisco or Siberia or Sao Paulo or somewhere just different from the everyday ordinariness of right here?
Over time, however, Alistair was finding more and more reasons to stay at home. Between his growing family and his concerns about the impact of travel on local ecosystems, giving up his international adventures seemed to be the best choice. So he made a brand new goal.
My decision to stop all of that and to commit to spending a whole year limiting myself to the one single map that I live on, which measures about 12 miles by 12 miles, 20 kilometers by 20 kilometers, and to see, could I open my eyes and find enough of interest in this tiny little patch of suburban southeast England? Could I find enough on there to scratch my adventurous itch? And could I really pay attention for the first time in my life and find interesting stuff close to home that in some way might be a substitute for disappearing off to the other side of the planet?
So this is the grand adventure that we chose to talk to Alistair about. His year of exploring his personal town's map. Now, this particular map is important. It's 12 miles by 12 miles and divided up by latitude and longitude into tiny squares.
What I decided to do was not just to get my map and just immediately explore everywhere, but rather just to do it little by little. Once a week for a whole year, I would go out and explore one of these grid squares. So an area that's only 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. That's pretty small, you know, that's a few football fields by a few football fields. It's not a big area. But my challenge to myself was, can I go there and see everything? And perhaps if I pay enough attention and I'm interested enough, then perhaps everywhere can be interesting.
So Alistair began his challenge. To test if he could really find adventure anywhere, he made sure that the first square he chose was the most boring spot he could find.
So I looked on my map and I found an area where there was nothing. No hills, no forest, no rivers, not even any tracks, just nothingness, a bit of empty marshland. So I went along there feeling a bit like a grumpy teenager being forced out to do a school project, thinking, ugh, this is going to be a bit boring and a bit rubbish, but let's go and see what it's like. And I forced myself to spend a few hours walking around this cold November bit of marshland and gradually started to notice that the more you look, the more you see, the more you see, the more there is to be interested by. The more you're interested in something, the more curious you get. And so little by little, my enthusiasm started to grow. And I took hundreds of photos that first day and then came home with all sorts of notes of lots of things that I'd seen and thought. And I carried on my explorations when I got back home with a few hours of Googling as well. So it actually became a two-pronged project that became the weekly visit out to somewhere on my map to see what I could see. I'd write stuff down, I'd take some photos, then I'd come home and I'd Google everything that I saw, because I'm not an expert on anything to do with nature at all, so I had to learn all this stuff.
Once Alistair started taking an interest in the nature all around him, he began to learn more and more about his home's local animals. He encountered quite a few species.
One week I was out cycling late at night in the dark and I cycled over a fox. I'm literally dumf, dumf, one wheel to the next wheel over a fox. Poor little thing. I went back and then I looked after it and there was no fox. I went the next day, no sign of it. So hopefully it was a tough old fox. But yeah, I had that. And then one week I was out running in a wood and I almost stood on a badger. A big white, black and white badger. Now, a black and white badger, that's our equivalent of a grizzly bear in Britain. That sort of thing does not happen close to London. So that absolutely terrified both me and the fluffy badger. And then very shortly after that, I was running along once and a big stag beetle, which is about the most epic of insects we have, landed on me while I was running and I squealed like a little kid. But it was exciting and that's wild. That's nature and raw animal stuff happening to me whilst in all of these instances in the distance, I'd be able to see the flashing tower blocks of the big city not very far away.
In addition to these animal encounters, Alistair also enjoyed getting a peek at abandoned human creations that he had previously ignored in his hometown.
What turned out to be a really, really good idea for me in this project was that I decided to choose the grid squares by random. So each week, I didn't just choose somewhere pretty to go to, I essentially rolled the dice and went to where I was told. And yes, some weeks that was a cemetery or somewhere with a McDonald's or a KFC, railway yards and things. And this was fantastic because this then meant that for the first time I was exploring parts of my local area which I'd never been to before and I'd never been interested in before. They often became my favourite grid squares on the whole map, really. I mean, a cemetery, I love a cemetery. English cemeteries are brilliant. You've got people been there for 600, 700, 800 years. You read the little inscriptions on the things. I really enjoy that, so I'm always happy to walk around a cemetery. But I'm also became really fascinated by things like industrial yards. I've never really been to an industrial yard. I don't know what goes on in these places. So I was really interested to start looking at these factories. And I really like the parts where some bits have fallen down and neglected and they're broken and there's broken concrete and barbed wire and smashed bottles, because there you start to see plants growing again and trees pushing up through the concrete. And because there's not pesticides and pollution from chemicals from the farm fields, you get a lot more birds and butterflies than you do in other places. And because there aren't many humans around, you get foxes and rabbits, which are what pass our exciting wildlife here in Britain. So I came to really enjoy these broken down places. And another thing that I hadn't anticipated was that they felt wild and a sense of solitude and peace and silence in a way that I didn't get in the very developed countryside that we have. You know, in Britain, even our fields, our woodlands, they're all managed, they have been for centuries. So to get a sense of actual wildness and peace, it was the broken down bits behind the railway lines where I felt most as though I was exploring. So I came to really, really like the bits that weren't classic nature.
I love how you can sometimes find nature where you least expect it. On his weekly explorations of the different grid squares, Alistair would also bump into people who made his adventures even more enjoyable.
Every time I met people, it was interesting. I found one day this giant bit of, we call it fly tipping, when people just dump all of their trash rather than take it to the council to process it properly and pay for it, then they just dump it by the roadsides. And you get this, and this was an epic mound of this that had been set on fire. So I was looking at this huge mountain of trash, and along came these two young kids. So I was chatting to them, kind of curious, guys, shouldn't you be in school? But I didn't bother doing that sort of boring old man question. I was just chatting to them and about what I was doing, and they started offering to show me around. They're like, oh yeah, look, if we go through that fence there, you're not allowed to go through there, but I can show you a pond, or we can go around there, there's a good wood. I mean, you're not allowed to do it, but it's interesting. And that it made me remember how good it is to try and take a childlike approach to exploration. Think about kids are curious, they really want to know what's over the next hill, and they're enthusiastic and they get excited about everything. If you think of really small kids, like 2-3 year olds, you try and walk round the park with them, it takes you an hour because they're looking at every single puddle, and you're like, come on, hurry up kid, we gotta go. But the kid's much smarter, the kid is down looking at the beetles and the marvels of the universe. So yeah, trying to be childlike and curious is a good thing to do when you're out exploring in nature.
It's pretty cool that an adventurer like Alistair thinks that kids like you guys are better explorers than he is. Alistair's grid adventures were full of surprises. One time, he even ended up underground.
I hadn't anticipated to really go underground on this map project. It had not even crossed my mind. But one day, quite early on in the project, I explored my grid square. It was a woodland. And I came home congratulating myself that I'd done an excellent job of seeing everything that there was to see in this woodland. I was now a complete expert in this wood. I'd seen everything. And I started Googling away with all the things that I'd been learning about that day. And I realized that in that wood was something called a Dean hole. And I'd never heard of a Dean hole, a D-E-N-E hole. I'd never heard of these things before. So I Google and I learned that they are old underground chalk mines, hundreds and hundreds of years old. And back in the day, these farmers, they didn't want to waste land by digging a chalk pit in their field. They didn't have enough land to spare, so they dig a small vertical shaft and then underground hollow out all the chalk and use that over time to fertilize their fields. And it seemed that there was one of these ancient chalk pits, perhaps 900 years old, in my bit of woodland. And I'd missed this most fascinating of things in my woodland. So maybe I wasn't such an expert after all. So with a bit of humble pie, I had to return to my woodland, but this time armed with a climbing rope and a headlamp. These were exciting expedition bits of kit that I had not anticipated needing in suburbia, 200 meters from a large, noisy freeway. But there it was, a hole in the woodland. The wood was strewn with leaves and there was this round black hole. And I tied my rope to a tree and lowered myself down into it. And there I was, underground on my map, in a Dean hole.
When Alistair went down into the Dean, it was even larger than he imagined. There were 6 hollowed out chambers, each the size of a small bedroom. Imagine how much work it must have taken to carve out those underground holes.
The fact that I was underground, I was exploring a bit of the universe that I never even knew existed, really close to my front door, meant that was quite an exciting little twist to my year.
After his year of local adventures, Alistair felt truly connected to the land and wildlife in his hometown. This sense of care for the nature around him made Alistair want to do something to make his part of the world a better place.
I went back to my very first grid square, the marshland that I told you about, the one I'd gone to a year or so before when I started to write. And I went this time armed, though, with some gloves and some trash bags to just go tidy this place up a bit. And I spent a couple of hours just walking around, picking up trash, putting it in bags. And by the time I took it all home, you know, I'd barely touched the surface. There's just trash everywhere in corners of England. But I'd done a tiny, tiny, tiny thing to make the universe a little bit better. And that made me feel really quite good inside myself. So it was a good bit of physical exercise. It made me feel more positive about the landscape. And I'd done a tiny little bit of good. By exploring locally, I care more locally. And if you imagine if every single one of us cared locally about our small little area, you add that all together and that would really transform the way we approach the world.
Wow, I love that. If we all chose to care about our little patch of the universe, then we can all make the world a better place. Alistair's year exploring nearby nature teaches us that we can find wonder in the things close to home and even change the world as we explore.
you're seeking adventure and more. In plain view, a whole world for me and you is just outside your door.
Quick word for parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We put together this shorter episode using material from Constant Wonder, material that's just right for kids, but you might have an appetite for the whole original episode. It's devoted to Alistair Humphreys and his quest to discover the wonder in his own backyard. If you'd like to hear the full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts and look for the episode titled A Map for a Lifetime of Adventure. I actually expect you'll have interest in much more than a single episode of our podcast. Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Who doesn't value and want to nourish and enlarge our sense of wonder? Be sure to subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.